give a little idea on how you guide people from one brand of food to another? Are there recommended percentage changes that you recommend?
You mean in the mixing process of the switching over?
Sure.
Well, you know, the old school way, if you were going to switch, kind of was to mix, you know, say you're going to do it over maybe a 5 to 7 day period, and you do something like you'd have 4 parts to 1 of old food to new food, and then go 3 to 2, and then 2 to 3, and then 4 to 1, and then, you know, remove the old food completely. You know, we're seeing now, especially if people, you know, part of the idea is, you know, if they start using the foods, some of the foods that we sell, you're going to have a higher quality food, and they can actually really almost do it cold turkey between each food. The one thing they recommend, some of the food companies we have when switching between these foods, is to actually do kind of like a mini fast. On the first day, you actually just finish the old food. Mm-hmm. And on the first day of the new food, let's say if the dog was eating 2 cups a day, give them 1 cup. So they're going to get half a meal a day, which I know is horrifying to some of us. But basically what it's doing is giving their digestive system a break. And it's those vitamins and minerals and those supplements. You know, a fast allows the part of the system to take a break and take a rest and flush a lot of things out and, you know, start anew. So, and you can also supplement with enzymes, probiotics. A lot of the food companies put these in the bag. But, you know, I'm not sure much of it survives the extrusion process and stuff because it's a pretty high heat, high pressure process. So
And the reason you want to at least concern yourself with that high heat, high pressure approach is that some of the valuable nutrients, or more importantly, bacteria, is voided in that process.
Well, absolutely, especially with a dog or a cat or something like this, because we're talking about animals in the wild that naturally ate raw food, which scares a lot of us, scares our vets, because our vets, I mean, they're highly trained in terms of preventing infectious diseases, things like that. Dogs, their digestive tracts, and cats are very short, and it would take a very large amount of, say, like salmonella. I actually just had a recall. I mean, you know, about one of our products was the raw diets that they sell. They recalled them because there was salmonella in them, and it wasn't because of the risk to the pet's health. It's because they knew that it's just a safety issue. I mean, that they're concerned that, you know, they'd get in trouble if somebody didn't, the human didn't handle it well.
Sure.
I mean, you have to handle this food carefully, and, you know, so if it's infected, they don't want the customer even dealing with it at all, even though it's not unsafe to the pet. So yes, the processing is very key, because a lot of vital nutrients to especially pets, because that's a way that they typically, that's the way that their bodies are used to taking nutrients in. Whereas, you know, we cook. So.
Right. And the other approach that you had mentioned was baked. Does that change the process at all?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that are big fans of baking. There's been foods that were baking their food in, or companies that were baking their food in the past and don't do it anymore. There's a couple that still do, and they're, you know, that's their big selling point. I don't put too much stock in that, because it's a very high heat
temperature.
I mean, yeah,
right.
I mean, you're not really preserving anything that you lost in the extrusion. I don't think. I mean, if you're really concerned about this stuff surviving, you want to go to probably some canned or some raw food.
And how do they get the bacteria back in their gut, or is that just going to be there? Do they need to worry about adding to the food to get that kind of bacteria enrichment?
Well, one of the best things, you know, supplements are really a great thing to do. I mean, there's tons of great dietary supplements for dogs and cats that a lot of people don't know about. And those are really a great way a lot of people come in looking for foods for the joint health with glucosamine and chondroitin in the food.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the best way to do it really is to get a food without the glucosamine and chondroitin and get a joint supplement that's in a liquid form or something where you know that stuff is very much available, digestible, and has not been killed off by the processing in the bag. And most foods don't have enough to really make a big difference anyway.
Right.
The joint supplements have far more. And
you can focus specifically on that task. I know.
Absolutely.
Another supplement that we sell a lot of would be the oil-oriented additives. Maybe you can comment a little bit about that, because that's definitely one of those supplements. There's people that come into your store, I'm sure, that I guess refuse to change brand loyalty. They've grown up with commercials all their life, and I've always found that it's particularly helpful. If that's going to be the case, you know, there's always a supplement that might at least enhance the performance of that particular food. Maybe you could comment on that
Sure. Well, you know, obviously we'd prefer to see them, you know, do everything
exactly
the right way all around. Yeah. You know, yeah, we'd all like to do the best we can. But the supplements, you know, you mentioned the oils, like a salmon oil or something. Omega-3s and 6s mm-hmm. are, I mean, they're real trendy right now, but there's a good reason for it, especially with dogs and cats, because, I mean, most of what we see, you know, as pet owners is we want them to look good. We want them to feel good. We want them to feel soft. Well, the omega-6s, especially when it comes to the softness of the coat and the lack of shedding, the omega-3s, there's so many health benefits to dogs and cats with this. And again, you mean, looking at a lot of human science now, you know, nutrition science is looking at how deficient we are in omega-3s and 6s. I mean, a lot of people don't eat much seafood. People are worried about, you know, a lot of the seafood being farm-raised so that it's, you know, it doesn't have the nutritional benefits of wild-caught salmon or wild-caught fish. Well, you know, think about that maybe even more so for dogs and cats because, look, they used to eat all this stuff raw. You know, they were getting, you know, the oils from yep. these animals.
And one thing I've always noticed that if the food's a bit deficient on oils, their coats are going to look pretty rough.
Yeah, you know, you get more of that faded, wiry kind
right.
of, you know, matted coat that's it's not near as soft. It's not near as it's funny. I mean, you see a shine. You see a luster when the omega-3s and 6s are there. And you see, we see eye color change.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the changes that you see, I mean, you're kind of laughing at yourself. You're like, I wouldn't have sold anybody on that, but it happened, you know.
Right.
I wouldn't have been walking around pitching that on people, but, you know, it does. It works. So,
yeah.
You know.
Okay. We've been talking with Derek Druschel from Joey's Pet Outfitters in Williamston. Derek, on the other side of the break, I'd like to ask you some questions about the specialty foods that you sometimes see at the veterinarians, the 100% complete and balanced diet, as well as the prescription diet, and just have you talk a little bit about that as we continue on in exploring the issue of food and nutrition here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho.